Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the RIP Tour podcast. I am your tour guide, Ash, and two episodes in 2 days that I'm hosting. So, yeah, I've been given hosting duties again, but this is the big one. This is the big announcement. We've got the best of the rest announced. We were holding three houses for such a long time, but they gave us the rest. But I can't do this alone. I have fellow tour guides with me, and I also have special guests who've been on here before. But let's start with the tour guides first. Gary, what's going on, bud?
Hello. I am very hyped for this episode. Yesterday was such a whirlwind, wasn't it? So I'm here. I'm in my office. I've got a Blinky cup. I've got some beer, and I'm ready to go.
Wow. So maybe it's 11 a.m. here. I was thinking of a beer, but for you, it's like late afternoon.
It's 4 p.m. somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. I'll forgive you for that one. Alrighty, Liz, what's going on? Two episodes in 2 days.
I know. I'm still kind of recovering from everything yesterday, but here we are.
Yeah, overwhelming, you know, getting everything announced. But we've got two other special guests with us. They've been on plenty of times before, like second cousins to the show, if you will. From Inside Universal, your friend Brian. What's going on, bud?
What's going on, everybody?
Nice to have you back. Again, thank Brian, how was yesterday? Nice and overwhelming with everything dropping.
I was not able to. Well, this is my first HHN drop as a father. So trying to get everything going on the website while a baby is crying in your arms is not a fun experience. So I do not recommend that. Fatherhood part's great, but doing both is not.
Yeah, they could have just released one for you, just to kind of, you know, maybe one at a time. That'd probably help you out a little bit, especially with the baby too. And also, we have Drew, been on plenty of times before. I'm sure you know Drew, formerly of Inside Universal, Orlando United. Drew, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man?
Pleased to have you back. What about yesterday, Drew? How were your feelings with just everything kind of shooting us at once?
It was a change of pace from how they normally do it. I think I kind of prefer it that way as opposed to just like announcements sprinkled out throughout July. But yeah, it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. And that's been a theme, hasn't it, really, from the last couple of years now, just giving us the rest of them in one go. Typically it's been August, but we've got it a little bit earlier this season. But yes, that's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to really do the hype list as of right now. We'll save that towards the end of August, maybe a week or two prior to the event actually starting. We're just going to basically talk about the announcements just one by one. We'll take it one house at a time, one zone at a time, and just our initial reaction, really, and maybe not a hype list, but how hyped we are for that maybe property and then what we'd like to see maybe in the maze itself. So let's just start. Let's just get into it right away. We're going to start with the one that got the commercial yesterday, which was Exorcist, a Believer. It does say Angela, Catherine, two missing girls have been found with no memory of what happened to them. But wherever they went, the ultimate evil has returned with them. Witness a chilling chain of events as you enter the most terrifying scenes from the new Blumhouse film. So I think this one's going to be, I don't think there'll be a middle ground for people. I think people are going to be hyped or not for this one. Let's go backwards. Drew, for the Exorcist Believer, you could even touch on the commercial as well. How were you in terms of this announcement?
So if you would have asked me, excuse me, if you would have asked me about a week ago, because this was rumored for a little bit, I would have said like, man, I'm not really too excited about this one. But seeing the trailer for the movie that got released on, was it Wednesday, I believe? It really kind of changed my tone on that one. The trailer that they released, oddly enough, I was actually like taking a walk around the Universal Resorts yesterday when they announced everything, and I clicked that video, and that is exactly where they filmed. This trailer was on those hotel paths that I was on at the time, so that was kind of funny. But the only thing that I'm kind of cautious on in this is that the movie hasn't come out yet, so it's going to be interesting to see how much they're going to show in the house, because you don't want to like spoil the movie at the same time. It's going to be like a living trailer, right? Yeah. So there's going to be times where you'll go through it in September and early October where you have not really any idea what's going on, but then towards the end of the event, if you've seen the movie, it might kind of make more sense. So it's almost like, you know, doing it early in September versus late in October, it's going to be maybe two different experiences potentially. So I'm kind of excited for it, but it's not like in my top five or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially with it, you know, dropping kind of, you know, slap bang in the middle of the event could change a lot of people's opinions. If you know, you know, the property or the source material you're walking through, that's a, that makes sense. So let's flip it over to Brian, just in terms of the Exorcist Believer, hype on this one. How you like that announcement?
Yeah, I'm going to echo Drew's thoughts. Before the trailer, I would have been like, oh, okay, we'll see. And then once the trailer dropped, it definitely amplified my interest. I think a lot of people were kind of hesitant, because I know it's been speculated for a while, especially with the Nightmare spec map, that everyone just assumed it was going to be the Exorcist again and didn't think it was going to be the Believer because it hadn't been released. And I don't understand why, because it's not the first time they've done this. But as Drew said, it's going to be a living trailer. And the thing I remember most from the latest example would be Dracula Untold, I think back in 24. When Aiello said that part of the problem with adapting the house was that they had to kind of follow the beats of the movie without also spoiling key plot points. So, I mean, granted, Dracula Untold was not the greatest house or greatest movie, but there's a lot to work with as far as things they can take from the original and obviously what they can do with this, because that trailer was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, that's a good point as well. What the, because they may not have, you know, carte blanche to do whatever they want with this one in terms of the property, where they can kind of toe the line a little bit without giving spoilers, is going to be interesting to see how they do that one for sure. Liz?
Yeah, I'm a little bit different than the other two guys. This is pretty low on my hype list just because no one will have seen it yet. So Dracula Untold from back in the day was a little bit of a disaster, in my opinion. And I'm just worried that we're going to have a repeat of that where everyone's just going to walk through confused. And I know there's at least some property recognition with it being Exorcist. I just don't know about this one. And that decision to pull from a property that hasn't been released yet is questionable to me. But yeah, there's plenty on this list that I am excited for. So I'm okay.
Yeah, makes sense. That's absolutely fair, you know, because if it's coming from an actual IP, you know, the source material might not, is obviously not there yet. And then finally, Gary, Exorcist, Believer, what are your thoughts on it?
So like Brian said before, you know, it's been rumored for a while, but before the trailer dropped, I was sort of, you know, we've already had the Exorcist, but I do enjoy Blumhouse movies as a whole at face value. And the trailer surprised me quite a bit, to be fair. I wasn't going in expecting much. I really enjoyed the trailer, so I am now looking forward to the movie. But the thing with an IP is the familiarity of it all. Walking through something that you know, but because we haven't seen the movie yet, it's the sort of the unknown. So we won't necessarily be able to base it off a lot of facts other than the trailer and the theme of The Exorcist. So it would be interesting to know if everybody enjoyed the house more if they walked through the house after the movie as opposed to before. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. It's probably hanging around mid-table for me.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I think the, like you just mentioned then, like the IP Exorcist, the name The Exorcist does pack a punch, right? It's, you know, it's a big IP. I know we've got bigger, especially these days, bigger IPs coming, but I think just the name Exorcist does, you know, pack a big punch there. So I am excited for this one, like Drew said as well. And Brian, with the trailer being positive, it's definitely piqued my interest a little bit more. And I always like the commercial when they do use the property. Universal property to film. That's always cool, kind of picking those points out as well. And then I love the Exorcist theme at the end in the commercial. Drew, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think ultimately, like, it's a new movie that we're not going to have seen, but it is going to have those callbacks. And when I watch the trailer and you hear that theme, that familiar theme kick in, it always sends kind of like chills up my spine, because as a kid, that movie wrecked me. And I still have trouble sometimes like looking at her face, and that music just kind of clicks in my head, and that's all I can see. And it's just, that music is super creepy.
Yeah, I think that as well, just like the IP itself does pack a punch, like I was saying. So it's definitely I definitely agree with that. And then the commercial, like I just mentioned, that the theme at the end just kind of hit. So that was, Yeah, definitely a good one. So yeah, the kind of mixed reviews for Exorcist. I think it's a positive on the whole. So let's go on to the...
Well, just one thing before we move on. I do want to touch upon one thing. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the last time The Exorcist was featured at Orlando, apparently there were some spooky goings on within the maze.
Oh, interesting.
So I wonder if we'll hear a story similar when the maze gets released and people start being able to go through it. Because I remember Aiello on Twitter. So I did the Unmasking the Horror Tour for The Exorcist. And I posted on Twitter, I felt really creepy in the spinning head room. Just something felt weird about that room. And Mike Aiello responded. He goes, yeah, there's weird things going on in that maze in general. That apparently lights would be turned off and then they come back and be turned on and vice versa. They'd hear things in there and no one was there. Things that they left in one spot would end up in another. So they couldn't really say if it was somebody messing with them or if there was something a little bit more to it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, real life ghost stories. But I think as well, I mean, like, I know you touched on it, Brian, as well. I mean, people were saying whether it was going to be the new one or whether it was going to be this one. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that we get the original one again. Because, I mean, Hollywood redid it, right? Was it last year they did it again? Or was it the year before?
No, it was the post-COVID year.
Right. So it wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility to maybe touch that again, but I'm kind of glad it's the new one anyway. But yeah, then on to the next one, which is called Chucky, Ultimate Kill Count. And the kind of tidbit says, Chucky, the serial killer doll, is back for a new gore fest. He's hijacked his own haunted house with all kinds of bloody hijinks. You and your friends must try to survive his ultimate kill count. So I'll go backwards now. Gary, Chucky, I know we've had it announced before, but we had no information about it. Hype on Chucky.
So I'm not a huge Chucky fan. I did enjoy season one of the TV show, but I thought season two did fall down a little bit towards the middle of it. It sort of lost me attention a bit. But I am excited to see a new iteration of Chucky, being the TV show. And obviously the name, the Ultimate Kill Count, means it's gonna be like an action-packed house, I think. So I am sort of excited for it. Just I'm not a huge fan of the property itself.
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely. Liz?
Yeah, Chucky's not my favorite, but after hearing a little bit more of the house yesterday, I do believe this is more of an original take on Chucky than going straight through the TV show. So I'm a little more excited for it than I was beforehand, because the previous Chucky house that was kind of an original take on Chucky was actually pretty darn good. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Cool. Yeah, of course. And Brian?
All right. So I'm not the biggest Chucky fan, but I do acknowledge that he does have a presence within horror circles. I wasn't really big on this house until I read the description of what they're trying to do with it. It's still pretty low as far as anticipation, just because, again, not a biggest fan of Chucky, but I like the approach that they're taking of a meta kind of haunted house, where it's technically honoring the new series, but also it's his own original thing. So I could see potential. I could see one of these being the house that starts at the bottom and then somehow finds its way inching towards the top.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair, and it's cool. I know. I think a lot of people, it's kind of gone a little bit higher, maybe on their hype, just with the description of it as well. Drew,
yeah, I would pretty much just echo everything that everyone said. I'm not the biggest Chucky fan. I do appreciate like the humor that comes along with him. The description of the house kind of gave me a little bit more of a glimmer of hope for it. But I haven't even seen like the second season of the show. So it's one of those ones that it's going to fall in the middle somewhere. And that's totally okay, because not every house is going to be like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just to piggyback on everybody, again, I'm not a massive Child's Play Chucky franchise fan. I did enjoy the TV series. And I do like how they've gone a different route with this maze, because I texted you, Brian, yesterday saying it's kind of low-hanging fruit for them to do maybe season one in the freaky portion and season two in the Black Phone portion, just to kind of split them up. That's just, you know, it'd make sense, right? But I'm glad they've gone a different way, and like you said, a more meta version of this with an ultimate kill count. And I think Chucky is funny, is very self referential in terms of that. So I think it's going to be more of a you know, a comedy house with a lot of kills, obviously, of course, in there. But yeah, I can imagine it just falling right in the middle in terms of the hype list eventually. On to the next one. Universal Monsters Unmasked. We continue the theme of the Universal Monsters. We've had them every year since 29 now. We've had a good run, and they've all been pretty solid houses for the most part. Now, right away, this graphic with, you know, Jekyll and Hyde's green smoke going through all the characters. I love this graphic, but it says 4 Universal Monsters, 1 New Nightmare. Descend into the Paris catacombs, where you and your squad will face a new horde of monsters, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Phantom of the Opera, the Hunchback, and the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and the Invisible Man. So a lot of backseat Universal Monsters typically are now into the forefront. Let's go the opposite way again, Drew. Universal Monsters Unmasked.
So I'm pretty excited for this one. I think I'm more excited for it that it's kind of like, I was saying, the B team of the Universal Monsters, because, you know, we keep getting like Dracula and Frankenstein and all that stuff. Like, Invisible Man is the one to me that when I saw him on the graphic, I was most excited. He doesn't really seem to fit much into the story. And even on the graphic, he seems just kind of like off to the side. Like, you know, that meme of the guy at the party sitting in the corner and like, they don't know that I'm invisible, kind of, you know, but yeah. It the story sounds cool. The whole catacombs and stuff, the setting has been rumored for a while, but it didn't really seem like anyone knew exactly what the monsters were going to be. So it sort of made this reveal a little bit more exciting, I think. And they've kind of killed it with the monster houses in the past couple of years. So there's no reason to not be super excited for it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they've been working, so why not continue it? I completely agree with that one. Brian?
Yeah, I mean, they keep riding the monster train to great success, so, I mean, I'm not going to doubt this one. The only thing that I kind of wish was different, and again, it could change once we experience it, is I hope the house doesn't take all in the catacombs of Paris, because there's a lot of potential set wise when you're talking about the Phantom of the Opera and the Hunchback. So yeah, hopefully there is a little bit of change of scenery, but we'll see. I'm not gonna knock them until we finally experience it. And of course, I do have to say, the well, actually, of it all, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, not a Universal monster.
Yes, technically, no, but I do like the addition of that one. Yeah, about you, yeah. And the set piece is what they could do with this, you know, if they kind of, you know, flex their muscles a little bit and get out of the catacombs, not have that the whole, you know, throughout the whole story. They've got so much potential with this. So yeah, definitely great points there. Liz?
Yeah, I'm a huge Phantom of the Opera fan, so I am stoked for this one. I think it's a good combination of characters, and we have to be going through the Paris Opera House. That's just required. You're with the Phantom of the Opera. We have to be seeing that as well.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, I think the Universal Monsters have been super successful. The houses have all been great. So I'm here for it. Keep bringing them on until we run out of ideas, I guess.
Agreed. Yeah, Gary?
I am hyped for this house. So excited. Universal Monsters are here to stay, obviously, with Epic. And I'm all for it. I'm glad they're getting the love that they deserve. I cannot wait to walk through a version of the Paris Catacombs, because I really... I'm interested. I've watched a lot of documentaries on it, and I would love to go. I think it's so cool. I really hope we get to see somebody sitting in the bone chair. If you've seen the real Paris catacombs before, there is like a throne that is made out of skulls and bones, and I just think it's so cool. And last year's Munsa's house is really good, so if they keep up the intensity, it'll be a solid house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, like I've mentioned, the graphic they released, I love it. I do like the title Unmasked for these 4 characters. I think that that's really good. And having these 4 kind of, like you said, the B team, B squad characters is really good as well. Just not shoehorning a Dracula or a mummy or a bigger, if you will, monsters to try and hold the house. I think these 4 will make that house anyway. I don't think they need a bigger character to make the house any better at all. But yeah, hype, very, very hype for this one. I can imagine this in the top 3 probably on my hype list. But yeah, moving swiftly on to sort of the icon, maybe the MC for the event is Dr. Oddfellow's Twisted Origins. It does have these zodiac symbols in the background and a picture actually of Dr. Oddfellow in the middle of the graphic. It says, "Your soul is a price he's willing to pay. You won't be able to resist going inside Dr. Oddfellow's menacing menagerie of twisted oddities, but the price for you and your friends is steep. The cost of your souls to feed his immortal power." Gary, let's go back the opposite way then. Dr. Oddfellow's Twisted Origins. Hype for this one?
Yeah. I'm always hyped for an original, especially something that we haven't seen a ton of before. And for Oddfellow to get, you know, a full house is really cool, especially with all the history and backstory, which you guys went through yesterday. I am yet to listen to the show, so I'm excited to find out everything I need to know before I go through the house. Shameless plug. But yeah, I'm excited. You know, the graphic looks really cool, the font, and yeah, it'll be good, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up as well, because Discover Universal Podcast did release a Oddfellow episode, basically, which retconned a lot of new information into it as well. So yeah, definitely check that out, or check out the Discover Universal podcast. That's about a 20-minute thing that just gives all the new quote-unquote lore for Oddfellow that me and Liz did yesterday. But on to Liz, this May's Twisted Origins.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm calling it, he's an icon. You know, he's as close to an icon as I think we're going to get in the modern age. So to me, he's going to be an icon. He's got a house, and I'm excited to see the backstory that they're creating for Dr. Oddfellow and how this plays into all the other lore that we have seen. And maybe we'll get more in the coming month. I don't know, but I'm excited to see how the Zodiac is going to play out in this house.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear Brian and Drew's take on whether they consider an icon, because like I said yesterday, when I think of an icon, I think, are they a marketing, do they have a maze, do they have a zone, right? And I think he kind of checks all those boxes there. But Brian, Oddfellow this maze, what are you thinking?
I'm in team icon. It seems, for all intents and purposes, and based on the Discover Universal podcast, they're considering him an icon. So yep, we're basically getting everything that an icon provides, just without them being the head of marketing. Yep. The maze is whatever. I'm actually looking forward more to, it seems like they're going to have Easter eggs of Oddfellow throughout the event, because apparently he can shapeshift into different monsters, and the way to identify him is the scar that he got from Jack. So apparently there's going to be different monsters in each area that is actually Oddfellow in disguise. That's actually what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, yeah, and they kind of go into that a little bit on that podcast too, where he's a shapeshifter, and in all the zones that we'll probably touch on as well, he's probably going to be a different iteration of him, but you'll be able to find him, like with, you said, the markings, maybe like the voodoo thing as well, so very cool. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are more hyped for the zones than maybe this maze in particular anyway, but Drew, Oddfellow's Twisted Origins?
So I'm definitely on Team Icon. I do find it sort of curious that they never really released like an official photo of him to go with all that information. That's the only thing that's kind of holding me back a little bit. He's obviously like, there's kind of like a sketch of him on that house logo, but that's all we've really got. I'm not like super crazy about the house, but I think that's just sort of like PTSD from when Chance got her house and it just didn't really work out very well. And it's sort of like the same location, because it's heavily rumored that it's going to go where like the Bugs house entrance was last year. Ooh. So it's like, it's almost like the exact same setting. Do you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
I'm having a little bit of PTSD with that, but I'm going in with an open mind and I'm hoping for the best, but I'm excited for him as the icon and the whole scare zone connection and all that kind of stuff. But there's always like something that just doesn't quite click. And I feel like it's usually the house.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair point. I think this one, for me, I don't think it's going to be in the top three. I think just maybe right in the middle there for the reasons you've probably said there. There's something that usually doesn't click in terms of like an icon maze, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough because he's woven in throughout the whole event too. So I think his actual maze is probably I'm least looking forward to the least out of everything Oddfellow related. But yes, on to the, keep going on, obviously on with the originals. We have Dueling Dragons, Choose Thy Fate. And it says, no matter who you choose, you lose. Two warlocks of great power were turned into dragons after trying to take Merlin's spellbook. Now you and your friends are caught in the epic battle. You must choose a path and a victor. So, Dueling Dragons. Let's reverse order again, Drew.
It's like we're having like a fantasy football snake draft right now. You know, whoever's last is first. But this is easily one of the coolest ideas that they have ever done for Halloween Horror Nights. Like, there's always people that say, like, I want them to do a Jurassic Park house, or I want them to do a Jaws house. And you're like, how would that ever possibly work? But I think all of us on here are also like longtime fans of Universal, like resort in general. Mm-hmm. And as people that just like grew up with Universal, this is like a dream come true to take something that was spooky in nature for what it was and to translate it into a haunted house. And you just know, like, this is going to be this year's like Dead Man's, where going in and you see the announcement, you know it's going to be beautiful. Like, there's no way that they're not going to recreate an amazing castle with, you know, like the frozen knights from the old attraction queue and like burnt walls. And like, there has to be a dragon puppet on at the end, or, you know, two dragon puppets. There's few houses that get me like fired up. And this one has me super excited, and I cannot wait to see how they pull it off. And I can't wait to see the old callbacks to the attraction. And I'm personally hoping for like other callbacks to Lost Continent from back in the day. Like, it would be so great to see like Merlin in the house and just like all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, this is like easily top three looking forward to this year, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think aesthetically, it's going to be beautiful, no question about that. It's going to be so many Easter eggs, because like we're all not just Horror Nights fans, we're all Universal fans in general. We have been forever, so definitely one for us, that's for sure. Brian?
All I thought about when Drew said it, one dragon, two dragons, is that scene from Starsky and Hutch, where he's like, he knows better than one dragon, two dragons. It really does seem like those crazy SOBs did it, that they literally took the ride and said, okay, let's make this a haunted house, because everything from what I'm hearing from the podcast and what they've released is it has Merlin, it has the Enchanted Oak, it has the wizards dueling that become dragons, and you're caught in the crossfire of it. Like, they went and committed full stop to the story. They didn't twist it. They went in. And I honestly am really looking forward to this house the most because of that. And as Drew said, this is going to be this year's Dead Man's Wharf, or pier, excuse me, where it's going to look beautiful.
Yeah. So I hadn't heard that podcast yet that they released. So that's like super, super exciting to hear.
Yeah, especially if they're keeping it, you know, true to the, not just the property itself, but the area as well, with the Enchanted Oak Tavern as well. That's going to be so, so cool to see that in a maze.
If they're doing that, then they should bring the Enchanted Oak Tavern too, back as a bar somewhere in the park.
That'd be a no-brainer. The amount of stuff they could do this year with some of the properties they bring in, absolutely, that just makes complete sense. But yeah, you guys are getting me hyped for this one. Liz?
Yeah, they've covered pretty much the majority of my thoughts on it. Huge Islands of Adventure fan, the old school music and the vibe in Lost Continent. Loved it there. Obviously loved the original attraction. Can't wait to go through that experience again. But the other thing I'm hyped for is it's going to have multiple endings. You're going to have to choose thy fate at the end. And we haven't seen that at Halloween Horror Nights in a very long time. So yeah, this is definitely high on the hype list.
Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe that, obviously, if we're going to get Pyrock, Blizzrock, whoever it may be, the victor, is it going to be, you know, completely blue if it's Blizzrock, and maybe it's going to be cold, and then the opposite for I don't know. I haven't listened to any podcasts or anything. If they give that away, but I'm not sure how that would work. But you'd think so if there's going to be at least a victor at the end. But yeah, very cool how we get a different maybe ending. And then finally, Gary, Dueling Dragons.
So I am really hyped for this. Although I didn't get to see the Dueling Dragon area or anything because I didn't start coming to Orlando until 2012, 2013. I obviously been a Universal fan. I've done a ton of videos and research on YouTube, and I've read a couple of Universal history books and stuff. So I know a little bit about it, but I'm not going to, you know, say that I'm an expert based off reading something online. But I am hyped. Universal has got this backlog of stuff in their resort that they can use that you would never think that they would tap into. You know, and I think it's great to dedicate a house to a past attraction that so many people loved. And I am so excited for the multi-path in the house. I was excited when we spoke to Julie Zimmerman when we interviewed her about the Dungeons of Dragon multi-path back in the day. And I've always wanted to do something like that and get multiple endings. So this one sits high on the list just for that fact alone.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page here. This one is going, I think it's going to be in everybody's top, you know, in the upper echelons of the hype list, that's for sure. But yeah, they've done it. I just can't believe that we're getting this in an actual Horror Nights maze. If they make this work, this is going to be an old timer. Ain't no question about that.
And if they really want to go all in and satisfy the fans, bring back the Stained Glass pre-show.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point as well. I would urge people as well, because when there's an intellectual property or something coming or a TV show, you'll usually watch it for homework, for Horror Night. Just go onto YouTube. Somebody will have a video of the attraction and a walk through the attraction as well, and even the area, Lost Continent as well, because if we're getting a lot of those from the area, just go and watch a video maybe on YouTube that will have all those listed as well. So Gary, when you would have gone then, it would have been Dragon Challenge, right? It would have changed over by then, I would assume.
I can't even remember. Was it? Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been because Potter opened up 2010, so it would have been the Dragon Challenge.
Yeah.
So the original reason I booked Universal was to go ride Jaws. And I got there and it was shut.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Well, and here you are, what, like 10 years later? So there you go.
Yeah.
but yes, on to the next one. A recent resident, really, of Horror Nights, we have Yeti, Campground Kills. And it says, Yeti or not, here they come. You and your friends are about to venture into a 1950s campground overrun by huge, menacing yetis who rip apart anyone who gets in their way. You must flee to the Ranger Tower to escape. Snake Draft again. Gary, thoughts on Yeti Campground Kills?
Yes, yes, and yes. they had me at campground, they had me at 1950s, and then finally triple kill with the Yeti. It's just a recipe for a good house. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this should work. Right, everything you've mentioned there does signal this being a pretty strong, a strong house. So I definitely agree with that one. Liz,
I loved the previous Yeti house. Cannot wait to see what they do with it in a new setting. I obviously love 1950s as an era, so this is definitely right up my alley. And I'm excited to be back, getting terrorized by the Yetis once again.
Nice. Brian, are you as hyped?
Oh, yeah. Yeti Terror of the Yukon was awesome, so I don't anticipate this to be any different. I'm wondering how schlocky they'll make it, because Yeti Terror of the Yukon was a little bit more straightforward horror with a little kind of wink of schlock. And with the 50s setting in the campground, I wonder how, I don't want to say slapstick, but you know what I'm saying? Like how much humor they'll inject in between the actual horror.
Yeah, agreed. And are we expect, so when it's campground, that would assume, because Terror of the Yukon was obviously a cold maze set in that kind of period. Are we expecting maybe this to be summer given it's campground?
Yeah, or fall. I don't anticipate them to do the snow thing again. I'll say that much, but it's definitely going to be summer, fall time, or even spring. Three of the seasons. We have three season possibilities.
pick one of the other three. Finally, Drew.
Super excited. I mean, 2019 had one of the more solid lineups, you know, in the past decade or so. And Yeti is one of the ones that we always come back to. That was like the last house that we did to close out the event for us that year. We love it. Super excited. I think it's going to have a good amount of like comedy involved in it as well, like Brian was saying. Because like, you know, like the one in 2019, it had its scary moments, but it also had the moments of like the man getting the door slammed on him. It was just like, it was silly in nature. I feel like, did they announce that it also takes place in Canada? Because I saw somewhere that they're going to have like poutine as one of the snacks this year. Oh, so I feel like that would be
Italian.
I thought
it was the Rocky Mountains.
I don't know. I just saw like poutine as being one of the like food items this year. So I assume that like this is taking place in Canada and that's like the link that goes to it. But yeah, this is one of the other ones with like Dueling Dragons that like I am just beyond excited to revisit. And I'm really hoping for like some funny, like those like camp rangers with like the high socks on and like the short shorts, just looking ridiculous. Just Yetis throwing them and slamming doors in their face again. It just sounds awesome.
Yeah. I did look it up. Bloody Campground Poutine.
Yeah. So that makes me think Canada is the setting again for that. And it just sounds great.
I must further deep dive into this.
Try and order that when you've had a few beers.
Yes.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. So I think a Yeti all round positive. So that's good. Let's get on to the next one. It is the Darkest Deal. And it says, fame is fleeting, fear is forever. And it says, blues musician Pine Straw Spruce will have to face the music after meeting with the collector and trading his soul for musical glory. You and your squad learn the terrible price of fame. So this is probably the least, I'm not that it's not high on the hype list or anything, but it's the least one I really have too much of a thought about, because I don't really know the story of how they're going with this. But again, back to front, Drew, Darkest Deal.
I'm very intrigued by this one. It seems to be the general thought is that it is an original take on the Devil Went Down to Georgia song, which it's creative. It's fun. You know, this is a real old callback, but like with the setting, with like the old school, like bar and stuff, it makes me think of like the Creature's House from, what is that, 2008, but with like kind of like a more, you know, jazzy setting going on and stuff. So I'm on the fence. Like, I'm excited for it, but I could also see it sort of being like this year's Coven, where the idea doesn't quite live up to what it is, but it definitely is an awesome idea.
Yeah. I'm definitely in that camp as well, where I'm more intrigued than I am hyped for it, just because I don't know how it's going to deliver, to be honest. Brian?
Before I get into it, I do have a Yeti update. It is the Rocky Mountains. So it could be Canada. It could be, you know, up in the northern part. So
cool. Okay.
Technically, you're not wrong. As far as the Darkest Deal House, I mean, it's a hell of a hook. That's this one intriguing aspect of to take the Devil Went Down to Georgia and translate it into a house. But how does it translate? So there's a lot of potential if they nail it, or I can see a situation. I was thinking Revenge of the Tooth Fairy. Very high concept, but just didn't stick that landing.
Right.
So, well, it's a we'll see, but it definitely has a lot of potential.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed completely, Liz.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest question marks for me of just how does that translate into a house? I love the concept of it. I actually really like the artwork that they put for it. It has a nice eerie vibe to it. I think it could have great potential. I just don't know quite how they're going to execute it, but those tent houses in that spot have been very scary in the past. So I have my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. And to touch on the artwork as well, I think this is one of the better ones, because you don't see the musician, you just see his back, but the shadow is the devil and you have two paths. So I think the little graphic does hit well. I do like that one. And finally, Gary, Darkest Deal.
When I read this house, the vibe I just got was like, is this going to be another Spirits of the Coven? I hope not, because it does sound like it could be good. But just reading the description didn't really do much for me at all.
Yeah, I think with this one, it's the toughest one to kind of dissect what's going to go on in there. And I think we'd mentioned intrigue is probably the best word to describe it, because it's just a tough one to kind of dissect from. And then finally, last one, we have the Blood Moon Dark Offerings, which in this one, it does have some of Oddfellow's symbols in there. Not all of them do, but this one does have some of the symbols in there. But it says, in a colonial era village, moon worshippers witness a blood moon at their fall festival. They take it as a sign to hunt down any non-followers, including you and your Scream Squad. So, Blood Moon Dark Offerings, again, reversing, Gary?
This sort of reminds me of the American Horror Story with Roanoke. That was all focused on Blood Moon. They had me up until it said Scream Squad.
a little groan at the end for that one.
I hate that phrase so bad. And I know some people like it, but I just don't like it.
I don't know anyone that likes it. Who likes it? Except the marketing department.
Evidently.
But yeah, again, I've got mixed feelings on this one. So I haven't made a hype list yet. I'm going to let everything sink in and really take some time. But yeah, it's another 50-50 house for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. Roanoke as well is a good point. It's the Blood Moon as well. So if you get something like that, that hit pretty well. So maybe Liz.
Yeah, it was also reminding me of the Roanoke that we saw at Halloween Horror Nights that had a very similar vibe. And if it has that, I mean, that house had a little bit of camp to it as well as scares. So I think this is going to be an even darker version of that. I am apprehensive, but I've heard it could be a very scenic house. So yeah, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. And I think that is where we are at right now, is scenic aesthetically. They are, even last year, the mazes were very, very good and aesthetically pleasing. If they could just couple that with the scares as well, you know, that would work a lot better, in my opinion. Brian, Blood Moon?
Yeah, we'll see. it seems like it's their version of Midsummer. But I guess maybe with the symbols on the artwork, maybe it ties a little bit more with the Dr. Oddfellow. And I can see aspects of, as Gary and Liz were saying, of another element of Roanoke twist. It just...
Yes. Yes, we're all having that same kind of Roanoke thought, which if it is kind of that vibe, but the aesthetics are good as well, it could make for a good house. This I think on the hype list, this probably has the most potential to be a climber, possibly. But Drew, take us home.
I don't know. That's kind of I mean, here, so like, to me, the description doesn't really give you enough. The artwork doesn't really give me enough. And when I think of like this, it gives me Coven callbacks, right? In a way. So I'm kind of like, I feel like if they didn't just do Coven last year, I would be a little bit more excited for the concept that I'm imagining. I look at it maybe as like a redemption for that kind of house, but I don't know, man. I don't think I've seen anyone that has this like not in the bottom quarter of their like rankings of what they're excited for. And I'm sort of with them. You know, we can't judge it because we don't really know a whole lot about it, but it's just the concept doesn't really get me too excited.
Yeah.
I'd also add to that, this lineup this year is very strong,
which is
so
fair.
Like, you gotta bring something stronger than that concept art and the description to get a little bit noticed.
Like, you know, think about it. Like, there's 10 houses and there's 5 scare zones. Not everything is going to be a winner. That's just the way that it works. And there's some that sometimes feel like a throwaway. And I don't necessarily think that's what this is, but I just think when everything else sounds so strong and so elaborate, because even like the other originals, you've got Dueling Dragons. Great. Yeti, a returning fan favorite. Darkest Deal, a really cool concept. And then you've got the Oddfellow, which is going to tie into your entire event. This one just sort of doesn't really have as much of a cool purpose as the other ones do. So there's just, there's so much more to be excited about that it just doesn't really ring any bells.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It is a very, very strong lineup. I think on most people's hype list, I think numbers 2, probably down to 9, could be in, you know, any order, and you can't really have a problem with it. But yeah, the rest of these 7 mazes, I'm very, very hyped for the majority to get these, coupled with those kind of monsters we had already. Last of Us, Stranger Things, and even Chucky is a big, big draw. But yeah, that wraps up all of the mazes. Holistically, very, very strong year. But let's keep this train going. Let's go on to the 5 sinister scare zones, it says. First up, Dr. Oddfellow's Collection of Horror. I do want to note as well, Oddfellow will be spun into all of these zones as well. But right up front, we have Dr. Oddfellow's Collection of Horror. Dr. Oddfellow will lure you into Halloween Horror Nights with a promise of immortality. As he lifts the veil on all the horrors to come, you'll soon realize you may not even survive the night. So it does sound like Brian said, we are going to get an iteration of Oddfellow in each maze where you'll have to spot him. This will probably be his true self in this zone. But again, backwards, I'll go backwards to 4. And again, Drew, Oddfellow's Collection of Horror right up front.
It's your standard, hey, welcome to Halloween Horror Night zone. My only thing is that I don't know if the location is going to be what we normally expect it to be, which is that production central area with all the new minion stuff going on, because I personally can't imagine wanting to take this brand new, in air quotes, land, because there's really not a whole lot of decor in the land itself, but and just kind of slap Halloween stuff all over it. I've noticed from going to the park that across from the Today Cafe, there's a lot of lighting in like that Hello Kitty plaza over there. So I imagine that's where like Oddfellow himself is going to be. So maybe it's kind of more of like that area outside of the store and the Today Cafe than what we're normally used to. But I mean, there's only so much you can do right at the front of the park, right? With the amount of people coming in at one time and stuff. So, I mean, generally this is the one that I'm like always kind of the least looking forward to, because there's never really like anything that's going to blow your mind here. But I mean, it'll be a cool like introduction to the event, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think that production central area anyway was getting so crowded. It was just redundant to me where I was just walking around it on like the minions pathway, you know, a lot of the time.
It's just not enjoyable to walk through.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I'm on to Brian.
Yeah. Echoing Drew's thoughts. And it seems that Universal understands the point of the zone, because in the podcast, they even admitted that this is sort of a quote table of contents at the front gate, letting you know, like, this is just a welcome zone, not a traditional scare zone in the sense.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see Oddfellow in the Barker role. But I'm not. I just know what that zone is, and that's okay. You know, it does its purpose.
Yeah. But both of you saying this is just, hey, here's Horror Nights, here's Oddfellow. This is what our year's all about here. So just having that table of contents just to kind of welcome you into the event is, I'm okay with that.
The only thing I'm wondering about is if they'll bring back the neon sign, just because it doesn't fit the theme this year.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe, I don't know whether they'd do it just in front of minions there, or maybe even move it. I don't know if they could do it where the universe store is there possibly, but then it kind of takes away going into the Hollywood zone as well. So who knows? Maybe they'll bring that in some capacity, but Liz.
Yeah, I don't think I have too much to add on that. I miss the days when we had a full standalone extra zone in that area. But with the crowds these days, it just makes the most sense just to let people come in, have a little taste of what's to come and get them into the park. So yeah, it's effective. And I do agree with Drew. I think all the lighting that's set up there, it's going to be in front of the store as opposed to over the Minions area. And we'll get our first look at Dr. Oddfellow.
Awesome. Yeah. You think it's going to be his true form?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And then finally, Gary.
Yeah, like Drew said, this is a hard zone, a hard area to nail. So if they have moved it a little bit out of the way, in my eyes, that's a win, because it's a shame because some of the themes of the zones that have been in that area have been great, but just the location drags them down that little bit extra. One thing I am thinking, I could be totally wrong, is obviously Oddfellow features in all of the zones. Do you think it's going to be a sort of Jack the Clown situation at Horror Nights 30 where he just appears around the park in each zone, or do you think they're going to have him in each zone all of the time?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think his traditional form will only be at the entrance. I think him and the other forms will be in the other zones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're saying, that you have to recognize him by the scar over his eye. That's how you tell it's Oddfellow. That he may be a monster that you have no idea, but if he has a scar in his eye, that's him.
Right.
Shapeshifting into all the zones. So let's go on to the next one. Dark Zodiac, going up Hollywood Boulevard. Dr. Oddfellow has entered a dark dimension to harness the power of the Zodiac and live forever. He twists the signs into malevolent beings who foretell your doom. As his star rises, yours falls. So in the podcast, the big Zodiac thing was in the circus tent where he killed everybody, and that was with the initial Dark Zodiac. From just the graphic, it doesn't scream like circus or carnival to me, to be honest there, but that's the first time you see him, and he could be in a different form here as well, which we probably will be. But Gary, he's not kind of too much to go off at Dark Zodiac.
Yeah, it doesn't really give too much away, does it? But the Hollywood sort of zone area is quite a big area to fill. And we often get some quite big props in there. So can't remember the name, the graveyard one last year. That had some
deadly
pretty
unrest.
Good, yes, that's it. Yes. That had some pretty good set pieces in there. So I'm hoping we get some big, you know, maybe some like ruins or something like that to go along with it. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. And then obviously with the Zodiac as well, you're pulling, you know, I guess humans that have been a mixed match of all these Zodiac signs. Like, I don't know, have like a, you know, a person with like a bull's head on, you know, like how it's all the Zodiacs related to it probably as well. Liz?
Yeah. So as we discussed in the lore episode yesterday, we're finding out this is part of Dr. Oddfellow's ritual trying to become immortal. So he's tapping into the Zodiac and tarot and the elements to gain immortality. And I think they haven't done something along those lines yet. And I'm hoping it's super dark and creepy. Everything's going to be twisted and we need a dark zone. And I feel like this is the dark zone for HHN 32.
Makes sense. Like we talked about it yesterday as well. We get a little bit of extra information as well. So yeah, definitely got potential this zone. Brian?
It all depends on execution. If they go all in, because there's a big chance for them to go all in with some of these designs, because it seems as if, based on the podcast, all signs are going to be represented. So are they just going to do, you know, a man with a bull's head, or are they going to make this behemoth, gnarly looking bull, you know, that's purple and black with blood pouring out, you know, just some really out there concept. The thing that I keep linking it to is Seven from Horror Nights 21, where it was kind of like this high concept idea of the scare zone where they had the seven deadly sins represented. So I'm hoping this is something along those lines where they get really creative with the idea.
Gotcha. And then we're going to have Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson playing on that as well, I think.
Yes.
Can't play them.
I loved that.
Exactly. If they go all out there with costuming and makeup and yeah, pretty cool. Drew?
This is like, to me, this is sort of like the blood moon of the streets where I'm not really sure how I feel about it. I'm not super excited about it, but I'm intrigued. I had the same thought as Brian did with Seven, and I feel like this is normally the zone that we see the little stages kind of littered throughout. So maybe like you'll see like the key representation of the Zodiac sign on a stage with like little minions around it or something like that. But I mean, it's a good concept, but this is always like a high traffic area. So I feel like the Hollywood zone is usually one of the ones that just absolutely has to deliver. So we'll see.
yeah, it's a big area as well to fill and make it around. It's always a big one, Hollywood. But yeah, I mean, like, it's a tough one to kind of draw from because the graphic doesn't really give too much away as well. But yeah, let's keep moving. We'll move into Central Park. And we have Jungle of Doom Expedition Horror. And Jungle of Doom, I didn't get to see this initial maze at Halloween Horror Nights 13. I missed this one. It does have, I think, the original Jungle of Doom kind of graphic had the skulls on top of it. And this also has a skull on top of the M in Jungle of Doom. But it does say in the 1920s, Dr. Oddfellow ventured deep into the darkest jungle, performing horrific experiments on nature. Now his monstrous creations are running amok and are coming for you. And I mentioned it yesterday. It sounds like the island of Dr. Moreau, where he's changing all these like humans into animals and hybrids. But again, back to front, Drew.
I am pretty excited for this one. I like that Central Park has sort of become like throwback zones the past couple of years, where it's always sort of like an older house becoming a scare zone representation with Scarecrow and the Terror Queen. And now this is before my time. So I've never experienced this zone or, you know, house before. When we were doing like one of our old podcasts, we kind of did like, what would your dream, you know, scenario for this zone would be. And I always went to the movie Predator. I love the idea of like a jungle zone happening in Central Park. So I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to come up with. And I believe it's like a 1920s vibe is what they were going for. I think I read somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's going to be, I think that's kind of cool too. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Central Park's always, always a top one for me. That's for sure. Brian.
So I was fortunate enough to kind of experience Jungle of Doom. The problem was about a third into the house, it started pouring. So I was more concerned about getting out of the house than looking around at the surroundings. For people unfamiliar, Jungle of Doom took place outside in the trails of the then Triceratops Discovery Trail. So when the weather did not cooperate, that house was pretty much useless. As far as the zone goes, it seems like they're pivoting more from the tribe aspect of the original to animal freaks of now. A lot of potential. I can't imagine how this is going to be with how busy this year is looking to be. Scarecrow last year was quite congested. So now you're adding Stranger Things and Last of Us, and I anticipate a – what's the language barrier on this? Can I say shit?
Again, you mean?
So it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's cool how they've kind of got a throwback to 13. I know you said it's going to be more than likely different in concept, but it's cool how they've gone all the way back from there. That is one of the I missed Jungle of Doom and I missed Final House of Fear that year, so pretty cool to see anything that they may pull from that as well. But Liz, keep it going.
Yeah, 2003 I was at the event, but I was still a chicken and not going into houses, so I did not get to see the original house either. And I've always wanted a Legends of the Hidden Temple zone. So this is about as close as I'm going to get, I think. So yeah, Jungle Temple, I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Barracudas, whoop.
Definitely a very cool concept, that's for sure. And I think it's the right area for it, Central Park, just with its natural state anyway. And Gary, Jungle of Doom?
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for this one. I love anything like 1920s themed and that sort of stuff. Like Brian said, though, like Central Park has always been one of my favorite places, but Scarecrow last year was just awful due to logistics. Every single time I went through that zone and tried to stop, I was getting ushered through just due to how busy it was. So maybe they need to scale back on the props in the walkway a little bit and use the sort of grass area on the behind the fence that they've used in past years, using like Trick or Treat as a fine example. There was a lot of set pieces behind the fence which worked.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that I can at least stand and take in the atmosphere this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because Central Park is always one of my favorite areas. But last year I know they kind of advertised it up front of like an outside house, basically. So you were being ushered through a lot of the times, which took away, you do like to, you know, take a step back and people watch and see what's going on. It kind of took that away last year. So hopefully a bit more of a redemption for that area this year. And then let's continue around in a circle. We'll go to San Francisco, and it's Shipyard 32, Horrors Unhinged. Enter a 1940 San Francisco shipping yard full of mysterious crates and cages bearing Dr. Oddfellow's symbol. Beware, his nightmarish oddities have now escaped, spreading fear and chaos in their wake. Now, apart from a very poor graphic, in my opinion, it does have the Oddfellow symbols on one of the shipping crates in the top right, as well, with blood coming down the shipyard graphic. Gary, I mean, this San Francisco, sometimes they kind of fall into the trap here of, it's on a wharf anyway, right? So they kind of do the shipyard, they kind of keep it that theme and kind of weave that into the lore with Oddfellow. But Shipyard 32, how are you feeling about this one?
What a very clever way to reuse the Dead Man's Wharf and Dead Man's Pier props. I am hyped for this zone. I love anything to do with like ships and stuff like that. And again, throwing it back to the 1940s, giving it that classic vibe. I'm very excited for this one. I hope it's on the same sort of level as Dead Man's Wharf with the lighting. In the sound package that they had on there, it would be a very, very solid zone.
Perfect. Yep. Sense. And Liz, I know you had a little bit of extra info as well that you found out, correct?
Yeah, so we know, thanks to the Discover Universal podcast, that we're going to be seeing monsters from Horror Nights past, as well as some new monsters in here, because Dr. Oddfellow has been collecting his creatures, and of course, they escape and come after us. So I'm excited to see which monsters from the past return and what new ones we're going to see in the fog.
Yeah, that's cool, seeing old ones, but yeah, monsters escaping at Horror Nights, who would have thunk, you know? It's always nice and safe, usually. Brian.
My only concern is if it's going to be redundant with the entrance zone, because if the entrance zone is a collection of monsters, well, this seems like it's the same thing.
Right.
So how much it differentiates itself from the entrance is going to be a big factor on, I think, a lot of people's opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Very similar in theory from that entrance zone in terms of the creatures, old and new. But yeah, it's just kind of shoehorned. This feels the most shoehorned in, if you will, shipyard, just because it's a San Francisco area. That feels the most shoehorned in to me, for sure, out of these. Probably low, I think. This would probably be the bottom. It just backs up. A lot of the times, just like the production central zone, I find myself walking around it. On the path there, just to kind of get out of the chaos. But Drew, finally, Shipyard 32.
Meh.
Yeah, same.
I mean, it's Hellblock Horror, but shipping containers probably.
that's true. That's so true. Yeah.
And the way that I'm just looking at it, all it is just going to be an obstacle course to get to the bar behind Lombard's.
Your Peacock Bar.
The Peacock Halloween Horror Nights Bar, sponsored by Peacock.
Yeah, that thought didn't even cross my mind, but now you've said it, it is just Hellblock Horror, but outside.
I mean, like we said, there's always something's going to be a throwaway at some point, and that this just seems sort of like it was almost like an afterthought and compared to everything else.
Yeah.
But the San Francisco zone usually is not enjoyable because of how tight it gets and how crowded it gets, you know? So if there's going to be one area that's just kind of like not an interesting theme, I think this is the one to do it in, personally.
Agreed. I can't imagine this being high on the final hype list. Alrighty. And finally, we get down into the streets of New York. I think maybe the front runner for the MVP, I think it's probably going to be high on a lot of people's lists. So we have Vamp 69. Summer of Blood. At a 60s music fest in a small New York town, you'll jam to popular bands with fellow concert goers until Dr. Oddfellow unleashes vicious vampires on the audience. They're out for your blood. The Discover Universal podcast goes into great detail about this specific zone. And his Oddfellow's character was called Erlo Wolf in there, who was kind of masquerading as a vampire and ended up, you know, descending on this music festival in 69. So we're probably gonna have to spot him as the vampire in this zone with his markings, like Brian said. But again, back to front, just right off the bat, Drew, Vamp 69, where's the hype level here?
Hell yeah, brother. So just kind of building on what happened with, you know, San Francisco, personally, I would have rather have seen them just not do the shipyard zone and instead take the scare actors that were going to be there and just sort of add them to Vamp instead and just really go, like, I'd rather have four good zones than like four good ones and one kind of toss away, you know. But the theme is awesome. Vamp 55, I prefer Vamp 55 to 85 personally. I think 85 was sort of like I got too hyped for it. So I'm trying to kind of curb expectations here as well, but the theme is great. Love the whole Woodstock vibe. I'm really curious to see like if they're going to have, you know, scare actors that kind of like a Jimi Hendrix looking guy and stuff like that. And I just feel like last year, Sweet Revenge, there were so many fun interactions that you had with scare actors in that area. And I feel like with the timepiece setting for this, there's probably going to be so many laughs in this area as well.
Yeah, that's true. The amount of stuff that goes on now, especially the New York zone, there's a lot of different areas with different interactions. And yeah, this is going to be good. Brian?
So this is definitely my most anticipated. I think it all, again, depends on execution, because where Vamp 55 succeeded was because they took the location of Hollywood and put it to good use. And of course, the actors went balls out and had fun with it. Whereas 85, I think a big problem with it is, even though the concept was great, with the New Year's Eve ball drop and all that stuff, was it was just contained to basically right in front of the mummy. So you had all this space in New York, and it was just that one little subsection that where all the action was. And of course, by the third time of going through that scare zone, you're kind of tired of hearing, what was it? The AC/DC song and the other one.
Shoot to Thrill.
Shoot to Thrill. There you go. Couldn't think of it. I purposely threw it out of my head. Because
and then wasn't it also in Zombieland the next year? Or am I imagining that? I feel like they had it 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
I think it was. But as far as Vamp 69 goes, if they really use New York to its full potential, especially with the concepts that they can use, because 69, besides Woodstock, you have the moon landing, you have the Manson murders. So there's like a lot of pop culture references they can do. So I'm sure the costumes are going to be awesome. It's just a matter of making sure all of New York encompasses that feeling instead of just that one little area.
Yeah, I think that is the main point, isn't it? Location, location, location. And if they fulfill that to the full potential, because there's so much real estate there they can work with. And 85 is just one specific area of it where if it's spread out, different interactions, that's going to work so much more. Liz?
Yeah, I'm also team Vamp 55 over 85. I still enjoyed 85, so I'm very excited to see the latest installment of the Vamp series. I think this time period is rich with history and the costumes and the music. It's going to be the party zone, but I'm hoping that it kind of takes on more of the tone of 55 with the interactions and just having a blast in there and everything the other guy said too. Just space it out, make sure there's plenty of actors, and it'll be a good time.
Yes, this is going to be good. And then finally, Gary, take us home. Final scare zone.
I am all for Team Vamp. Anything that they put out Vamp is cool. I am the flip side. I was Vamp 85 over 55, but I am excited for 69. In the 85 zone, you know, we had Prince, we had, I think we saw was the Adam and the Ant character walking around. So I hope like 69, you know, like we get like a Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles or something, like Tom Jones walking around zombified. I think it would be really cool. And like Brian says, there's a ton of pop culture that they can use. And I'll probably be spending a lot of time in this zone, to be fair. I think it will be, like Liz said, the party zone.
Yeah, I think we're all high on this one. And that's a good point as well, that Brian said, with the extra pop culture stuff that they could incorporate just to keep it in theme with the time as well. It'd be pretty cool. But that's it. That takes us to the zones. Definitely a lot of potential. With everything weaved into one story. I do like that. I don't think we've had that much cohesion since 21 in terms of the zones. And then finally, just very quickly, Nightmare Fuel Revenge Dream. The show that sparked your darkest dreams has reignited. Let your nightmares burn out of control as the pyro and aerial performers fire you up to the beat of metal and electronica. Nothing really to kind of go over extra, just a dance show, probably just new choreography and new music to go with it. So yeah, not really too much to go over. I know there's other stuff like the Cabana Bay Experience and Monster Hunt and the Taste of Terror Dan, and we are going to cover in a different episode. This is more just the zones and the houses. But yeah, I think we're all pretty hyped in terms of everything holistically. I think this has the makings to be a stellar year.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah, and it's I think we've got 33 days now, so we're right on the cusp of the horror. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm gonna flip it over now to the guys in terms of where can you find them, where can you interact with them. They're nice guys, you know. So let's start. Brian, where can people find you?
Changing diapers, and in addition, insideuniversal.net.
Yes.
Your leading source of Universal news. Thank you.
Yes. That is one of very few sources we will retweet. Like we like Inside Universal, do things the right way. So we're always appreciative of the coverage. That's for sure. So go. Yeah. If you're not following, I'm sure you are, but if you're not, make sure you follow. Drew, where can people find your funny New York Jet quips online?
I know. I missed the fact that Tim is not here today, so I don't have my New York brethren with me. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Drubov, DRUBOV, but I have nothing else to promote. So no shameless plugs here.
Yeah. But what I will be retweeting, I do this once a year now. You know what I'm going to say, right?
I absolutely know already.
It is the Beetlejuice, that Beetlejuice video that you made
the little boy dancing. Like, yes. Mississippi Nissan dealership, whatever it was.
Yes, that will be retweeted sometimes in August. So look out for that one. And Gary, sorry, I picked on Liz yesterday because she was only here. But Gary, where can people find us?
We are at RIP to our podcast on Twitter, Instagram. We're now on Threads. We have TikTok at the same. We have YouTube at the same. We have a merch store, and we have just dropped a new Summer of 69 series to go along with the Vamp 69 Zone. They've just dropped about an hour ago, just before the show went live on the Spreadshirt. They're available, I think, in 5 different styles of tie-dye shirt. And I think they're priced at around $24, I think, which is pretty good value. I've bought quite a few of the RIP shirts, and they're all good quality. So yeah, go represent the show and stuff like that. All the money we make goes back into the show to pay podcasting fees and make sure Tim has the best mic out of all of us and all that sort of good stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. Goes. Unfortunately for me, it's back to my other job now, but I just want to thank Drew, thank Brian for coming on and doing this announcement reaction episode. It's always good to have people who've been going to Horror Nights forever. I'm not saying you're old, but you've been going to Horror Nights forever and having so many good takes and things like that. We always appreciate you guys coming on. So thanks again for listening. We always appreciate you listening and interacting with us. We've got plenty of episodes coming in August too, so stick around for those. But yeah, from us, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.